The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heaven torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." In some church contexts, after the reading of the word, the person who's reading the word will say something like this: "The word of God for the people of God." And then the people would respond with, "Thanks be to God." I'd like to try that. So after I say the word of God for the people of God, you just simply respond, "Thanks be to God." All right? The word of God for the people of God. There's a reason churches do that, because what they are saying when the word of God is read to the people of God, we're talking about something special. We're talking about something important. We're not talking about any other document. We're not talking about treaties. We're not talking about constitutions. We're not talking about manifestos. We're talking about the word of God, specifically written to the people of God. And that's something that we ought to show more appreciation for. Amen? For the word of God, for the people of God. Some of y'all got it. On this first Sunday of 2024, I want us all to take a deep dive. A deep dive, not a dip, not a test feel. I want us to take a deep dive into the gospel of Jesus and God's kingdom. This morning, we will let the beginning of Mark's record regarding the life and ministry of Jesus be our tour guide. Few reasons why Mark seems right to guide us this morning. Number one, this is the lectionary reading selection for today. There's a lectionary that's put together that several churches all over the world read throughout the year. The lectionary is broken up into three cycles: year A, year B, year C. We're in year B, and in year B, the focus is on the Gospel of Mark. So right now, as I've just read that text, there are thousands of other churches that have probably read that same text this morning. Another reason to allow Mark to be our tour guide is that Mark is one that takes us into a deep dive into the ministry of Jesus, and he gets right into it. And there's something about that rhythm that I particularly enjoy when it comes to the Gospel of Mark. Mark is unlike Matthew and Luke in giving all these like details and sort of setting things up. Mark just takes us right into a deep dive into the ministry and the story of Jesus. If you're familiar with the other Gospels, you know that they spend a good deal of time with the birth narratives. Mark or Matthew and Luke spend time talking about the birth of Christ. John goes all the way back to the beginning, but Mark, he starts right in the first verse, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he goes right into it. That's the beginning of Mark. This followed then by a quote from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah. Then the author gets right into the story of Jesus. Third and final reason I think it's a good thing for Mark to be our Torah guide today is that his introductory text includes a very important piece of the Jesus story, his baptism. Now, some have even labeled this Sunday, the first Sunday of 2024, as the day to celebrate and to look at the baptism of the Lord. And so, take note that I have taken this cue from the text to call us into a deep dive, taking a plunge. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go swimming, I'm going to put swimming in quotes because I'm really not a good swimmer. But when I go swimming, I am not the type of person that does the toe. How many of y'all do that before you get in the water? You dip your toe in or you do that and you splash the water around to kind of get comfortable to say, oh, it's going to be cold. Like, we already know the water is going to be cold. You know it's going to be colder than your body temp. No matter, even if it's like warm water, when you get in the water, it's going to kind of shock your system. So for me, I just dive right in. Now trust me, this picture of this guy diving in the water, go to the next pic. When I dive in the water, it does not look nearly as beautiful, as majestic as this. Again, I'm not a good swimmer. But when it comes to water, I just jump right on in. I want to get the full experience of being refreshed. And it's going to be cold at first. It's going to make you chill. You're going to, you know, maybe shake a little bit. But after a while, you get used to it. And it's just so refreshing. And I don't want to waste time doing all this, because what this does, it just delays the experience of getting in the water, because you'll do that, oh, it's too cold, and you go back, oh, it's still too cold. It's going to always be too cold. Just jump right in. Do a deep dive. Those of you who are experienced with like athletics, if you played at the collegiate level, I know there are a couple people here who have done this. You're probably familiar with ice baths. How many people here has ever done an ice bath at the gym? An ice bath at the gym is not something that you do a toe dip, or you will never get in an ice bath. Now, I've never done a full ice bath. I've done an ice bucket. I used to do that for my shins and my ankles. And with those, you just take it and you just go right in. Now, it's gonna be uncomfortable, as you can see on this young man's face. It's going to be shocking, but after a while, you get used to it, and you begin to enjoy the benefits of the ice bath, where the muscles begin to heal and to recuperate from strenuous activity. It helps, and you want to go right in. Okay, enough with the cold water metaphors. Why am I talking about this? Why am I talking about taking a deep dive? Why am I talking about taking a plunge? This is the thing that we want to consider here at the start of 2024. I want us to think about taking a plunge into the deep, wonderful, full experience of God. When it comes to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, more than ever, this is a moment, this is a season, this is a year that we take in full, take a plunge into the kingdom of God and everything that it offers. And again, our tour guide, Mark, he takes us towards this deep dive by telling us the story of Jesus, wasting no time and telling us, including this pivotal scene in the life of Jesus, It was a scene involving his cousin John, nicknamed John the Baptizer. John is this important figure in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. John was what we call a forerunner. He was preparing the way for Jesus, like the prophet Isaiah said. John was baptizing people. Now, John's baptism was a practice that predated our Christian baptism. According to Hebrew scriptures and scholars and historians, first century Jews were active in purification rituals as spelled out in the Torah, the law, Leviticus and Deuteronomy. There's so many laws regarding purification. Last week, we looked at the story of Jesus and Simeon, and Mary had gone to the temple with Jesus after her purification had been done. And part of the purification rites involved water and involved cleansing. And that was something that the Jews took part of. There was a moment in Jewish history, in the story of Jews, that the purification began to morph into more of a ritual that looks like our baptism. In the community where John and Jesus grew up, there began a practice of water purification that had been associated with repentance and a confessing of sins. And that's what we see John doing. He was baptizing. It was a practice that publicly declared an intent to live a different life that was focused on the God of heaven and the forgiveness that he offers. Thus, John was baptizing, pointing people toward the kingdom of God. Now, there must have been something to John's baptism, because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, he submits himself to baptism. Now, it couldn't have been for the forgiveness of sins, because Jesus never sinned. And it's okay for us to see that baptism serves more than just the forgiveness of sins. That's part of it. But baptism has so many descriptions and pictures throughout Scripture. I share this almost every time I talk about baptism, because it's important for us to see these pictures and to see these descriptions. Baptism does serve as a practice of signifying the forgiveness of sins. That's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost from Acts chapter 2. In verse number 38, Peter preached to them. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, also note here that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to come back to that a little bit later. Baptism is also that which serves as a signaling of a submission to God's way. It's a way of saying that what I am, that dies. Because when I'm in charge, I call the shots, I rule the day. But baptism signifies I'm submitting now to God's way. This is how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 6. He says, "What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Did you see that? All the instances of dying and being raised to new life. That's a submission: death, burial, resurrection. Baptism is also described in Scripture as the entryway into the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." If you grew up in the Church of Christ, you know that there is an important place that we place on baptism in our individual and communal lives. If you are unfamiliar with Churches of Christ, the reason we talk so much about it is because of its incredible significance, demonstrated not only by its frequent mention in Scripture, but that Jesus Christ, our Lord, was also baptized. All four Gospels record the baptism of Jesus. It is an important marker in his life and ministry. Each Gospel shares their unique perspective and report. For Mark, Jesus' baptism seems to launch Jesus into this deep dive into kingdom work. You see, after Jesus is baptized, he is tempted by the devil for 40 days. Not a lot of detail there as in the other Gospels of Matthew and Luke. But we should take note that once you take a deep dive, it's not an easy swim. The devil will be after you, but God's messengers, angels, will take care of you. And then Jesus speaks. He's baptized, he goes, he's tempted for 40 days, then he starts preaching. Kingdom is here. Repent and believe. Now, go ahead and read the Gospel of Mark and see for yourselves this deep dive that Jesus takes into the work of God. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, you see him describing Jesus going throughout the region, preaching the good news. But his preaching of the good news was highlighted by some actions and activity that we ought to take note of, that Jesus was healing. Read the Gospel of Mark, and you see, even after he is tempted and says, repent, believe the good news. The first story is healing. He starts to heal and call people. Another highlight in the Gospel of Mark is that he reached out to sinners. Jesus did not mind going to sinners, and sinners wanted to be around Jesus, which I find such a fascinating in the 21st century, where sinners were wanting to be around Jesus, but today in the 21st century, sinners stay away from church people. I wonder why that is. That's something for us to consider, something for us to think about. But look at the Gospels. The sinners wanted to be with Jesus, wanted to eat with Jesus. And I'm sure that Jesus was telling them some harsh things and teaching some harsh lessons, but they still wanted to be around Jesus. But today, they want no part of us. We'll come back to that maybe later in the year. Also, what you should see in the Gospel of Mark is that Jesus invited folks to participate with him. He was no lone ranger. He invited people from all spectrums of life, poor people, rich people, men, women, young, old, Jews, and non-Jews. Another feature you'll see in the Gospel of Mark is that Jesus gave his life in service to humankind. And all the while, Jesus never neglected the most important piece of his mission, and that's staying connected to God. Often, Jesus would withdraw, he would just go away from all the crowds, from all the noise, from all the work, all the ministry, to go be alone with God in prayer. Church, this brief summary of Mark is for the purpose of saying this. After Jesus was baptized, he took a plunge into God's kingdom, God's ways, and God's mission. And on this first Sunday in 2024, I want us to survey all that is ahead of us. Take a deep breath and take the plunge into God's kingdom, into God's ways, and into God's mission. Most of us in here have been baptized, and we have taken that initial plunge. Perhaps we have splashed around in the shallow end. Whenever I talk about baptism, whenever I talk about the baptism of the Lord, it's an invitation for us to consider our own baptisms, your baptism story. Often I'll ask you in your small group, share your baptism story with the other people in the room, because those stories, they're stuck in our innermost parts. They're so dear. I remember the clothing I was wearing. I remember the time of day. I remember the song we sang as I was coming up. I remember the person who baptized me. I remember the conversation we had as they were finishing up the song before he baptized me. I remember him saying, this water is really warm, isn't it? I remember everything about my baptism. You probably do too. This is an invitation for you to go back and to think about that baptism and to think about the joy and to think about the excitement and to think about all that you had determined to do after you were baptized. And maybe that was the moment where you did kind of jump in and you splash around a little bit. But then there's the deep end that we might have found ourselves staying away from. This is the year, church, where we go into the deep end. This is the year that we are not afraid to get wet. We are not afraid to get cold. We are not afraid of our lives to be shaken to the core. For years, we have toe-tapped ourselves to not enjoying the full experience of God. Why? I don't know. For some of us, we're just afraid. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of losing out or missing out on something. Man, if I get so deep in with God, man, I'm going to miss out on some stuff over here. I know that's often the cry of a lot of young people. Oh, man, if I give my life totally to God, man, my friends aren't going to want to hang around me anymore. I'm not going to be able to watch this or play this. I'm going to miss out. That's not just a cry of young people. That's also a cry of middle people and I can't use the word older people. Not so young people. Like it's the cry of all of us. Like we're afraid of that. We deep in. We take this deep dive in. And it's like we're going to miss something. Maybe we're afraid. There are other reasons we don't take this deep dive. We'll say things like we don't have enough time. Man, I got so much to do. I got work and I got family and I got this and I got that. We will make time for the things that are important to us. We will make time to read books. We will take time to binge watch a series. We will take time to go have fun. We will take time to do whatever we want and desire to do. A lot of us just don't decide to take a deep dive with God because we simply choose not. Let's just be honest with ourselves. I'm being honest with myself. That's what's held me back. I'll come up with every reason why I can't. Oh, I need more time. I just wish there were more hours in the day. This has to be the year that we take a deep dive. So here's a moment in the sermon where I say this every year. Before you know it, church, it's going to be 2025. You're looking at me now like, damn, we just started 2024. And when October gets here, and I was like, remember I told y'all it's almost 2025? Time is moving swift, church. Time is moving fast. It would be a shame for us to miss out because we're still toe-tapping. Time to take the plunge. Taking the plunge was definitely the motto Jesus left us, and it was probed in the epistle of Ephesians, or in the book of Acts, at a church, an episode in the early church. This is from Acts chapter 19. You might recall this story. Paul, a missionary apostle of Jesus, he went, preached the word, established many churches. He found himself in a city called Ephesus. When he arrived, this is Acts chapter 19, verse number 1. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They replied, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then he said, into what then were you baptized? They answered, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And altogether, there were about 12 of them. I told you I would come back to the Holy Spirit. You see, here Paul asks, in essence, did you experience the toe-tap baptism or the full plunge baptism? The full plunge baptism is the baptism in which we receive the full measure of the Holy Spirit. And then, with the Holy Spirit, we enjoy God and what He wants for us. So take note that after these 12 men were baptized, these 12 disciples were baptized, they begin to speak in tongues, which are, I believe, in this text, other languages, and they begin to prophesy, which in this context is preaching. That the Holy Spirit came upon them, they begin to enjoy the full measure of the Holy Spirit to participate in God's mission. The full plunge. That's exactly what happened after Jesus was baptized. He took this full plunge into God's mission. I love what one author wrote about this text in Acts chapter 19. He writes, the story of the 12 baptized at Ephesus may be especially instructive in a day when people struggle for meaning in life and for a new depth of spirituality. Individuals long for something more real than what can be found in a frantic, impersonal, and materialistic world. The very word spirit becomes an attraction by suggesting an animating force, a reality giving devotion, vitality, and warmth of feeling. The promise to be claimed from our text is that the spirit is to be sought in the word preached and the sacrament enacted. The sacrament is baptism. Now, this author's quote is not to suggest that we manipulate teaching or experiences as somehow to exploit the Spirit. No. The quote highlights our human reality. We want more out of life and more out of our spiritual journeys. For the 12 here in Ephesus, it was the powerful revelation that the baptism of Jesus meant the indwelling of God's powerful Holy Spirit. Now, we've spoken much about the Spirit, and there seems to be a desire for more understanding. I received cards last week, remember, asking you what are some of the things that you want to learn, and several of you put more about the Holy Spirit. In short, the Holy Spirit is the same powerful and driving force that descended on Jesus at his baptism, that drove him into the wilderness for 40 days, and that worked through him as he healed folks and called folks and served folks and eventually died for folks. That same Spirit is with us. It's in us right now. You've been baptized in Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. There are a countless number of things that we can do to demonstrate this real truth. But for starters, know this. That this is a power that is a gift of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You don't need any special status. You don't need extraordinary access. We don't need to have a special service where I lay hands. Don't need it. Don't need it. God has given it to us all. We just need to stop toe tapping. Dive right in. Take a plunge. Say, yes, I receive it. For those who have been baptized, perhaps a simple renewal of vows is necessary. For those who have been baptized, a commitment to take a deep dive with the Lord in 2024 might be necessary. To be his man, to be his woman, to be his child, to be his servant, to be his follower, to be his disciple. To be his instrument, to be his kingdom resident, to be his devotee, to be his witness, to be his evidence of love in the world. I've been part of several experiences at seminary. At the start of every year, we would do a service where we would renew our baptism vows. The beautiful and emotional service where we simply recommitted to the feeling, to the confession we made when we were baptized. Here's a sample of a baptism renewal service where the leader would say to the crowd, "Do you renew and affirm the promises made when you were baptized?" And the congregation would say, "I do." "Do you turn in faith to Christ?" "I do." "Do you then renounce all evil?" "I do by God's help." "Will you obey and serve Christ?" "I will by God's help." "Do you believe and trust in God, the Father, creator of heaven and earth?" "I believe and trust in him." "Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed the world?" "I believe and trust in him." Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit who gives life to the people of God? I believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith, the congregation says in unison. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The leader says, those who are baptized are called to worship and serve God. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers? The congregation responds, with the help of God, we will. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? And the congregation says, with the help of God, we will. Then the leader says, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Church responds, with the help of God, we will. Will you seek and serve Christ and all people, loving your neighbor as yourself? The congregation says, with the help of God, we will. Will you acknowledge Christ's authority over human society by prayer for the world and its leaders, by defending the weak, and by seeking peace and justice? And the congregation responds, with the help of God, we will. Maybe today, if you've been baptized, is the day you recommit to your baptismal vows. Say, yes, and I do, we will. All those prior statements as a way to say, we're done toe-tapping. We're going to take a plunge. That's if you've been baptized. But maybe there's someone here who haven't been baptized. For you, I implore you to take the plunge, a literal plunge. Take the plunge into a watery grave where the old self dies and a new creature comes to life. A new man, a new woman, a new child is born in newness of life. You receive God's gift of himself. The Holy Spirit. It will live in you. It will guide you. It will comfort you. It will reveal to you God's ways and God's kingdom. So if you've not been baptized, take that plunge. This is going to be the year where we withhold nothing. Not going to withhold our time. We're not going to withhold our money. We're not going to withhold our energy. We're not going to withhold our efforts. We're not going to withhold our service. We're not going to withhold our vulnerability. We're not going to withhold our honesty. We're not going to withhold our confession. We're not going to withhold our repentance. We're not going to withhold our witness. We're not going to withhold our discipleship. We're not going to withhold our evangelism. We're not going to withhold our worship. We are withholding nothing in 2024. We're taking a plunge. Amen? Are you with me? Are you done toe-tapping? Let's take this deep dive in the fullness of God. May we experience the fullness of God. Let's make no more excuses. Let's take the dive. Withholding nothing. And that's the invitation this morning. For us to surrender all to King Jesus and withhold nothing. If you've made that recommitment to your baptismal vow, my call to you is to take that plunge and live deep in God's love and God's kingdom and God's mission and God's ways. If you're not a baptized follower of Jesus Christ, follow his example today to take that deep dive, to be baptized into him, to live your life, living fully and deeply into God's love. As we sing this next song, there's a way that you want to respond to the message, being baptized by recommitting your life to God today, you can do so. Let's sing this song together.